Accession number 12710, Mr. John Avery, reel 25.
Mr. J. Avery, reel 25. The standard of turnout when you were escorting the general, Mr. Avery, was that exceptionally high?
Well, I wouldn't say exceptionally high, as long as you were clean and representable. That's all he wanted. There was no, as you call in the army, bullshit. There was no bullshit. Equipment, your weapon equipment had to be clean, but no blanco or nothing like that. He had to be presentable. If you were presentable, clean and presentable, that was his effort.
Did you have to undergo lots of kit inspections, for example?
No, not really. One knew what was expected of him, and it was such as, myself has been an NCO, no, the NCO sort of that this effort was kept up because they knew where they were at. He had to set a good example, and it was always a good example set to me. It was nearly always a good example set for the Sir Miles Dempsey, because he was a wonderful man, I thought. He never gets really mentioned and all that. And there was another great gentleman, an officer, was General Oryx. When they used to get together, to me, he used to be great, and he used to come to me, General Oryx, and ask me, he used to say, how's Sir Miles keeping you? I said, very well, sir. He said, just tell me when you don't, you know. He used to come up by me. But as I say,
so they were well liked by the troops.
Those people were, because they spoke to you. They didn't come brushing back and get pushing you out the road and all that like that. They spoke to you. They stopped and spoke.
Were there any others that you, high ups that you have in mind that were either good or bad?
Well, there was one or two, but they were all outstanding. They were Sir Miles Dempsey and General Oryx. It was with us, lower officers, which were decent, they would talk to you, but others,
Did you see much of Montgomery?
Not a great lot, but as I said, we did see him now and again. Wasn't frequent, It was not frequent. We just saw him now. When we went down to the HQ, we might see him, and that was it. It being a distant sort of stuff. But did see him all right. Different places when at Lonenberg Heath, that's when they signed up, when it was thing was signed. And I was there because I often picture that day as it was today, when this big column. Tanks and all come down the lane where we were at. I have a photograph of the cottage where they all come. And they come down to this cottage where some of the gents are sitting. Then we're getting to come down with a big white flag flying. And, that was a big parade sort of style. They all come. There was some lovely dress gay, but Germans are on, a little dress swords and one, look really like to get one, but as I say, position you were in and where you were at was a different kettle of fish. If I'd been in action, there was no one to stop me from what to do, but there you were.
Did you know what was happening that day?
Eh?
Did you know what was happening that day?
Yes. That's one thing about Sir Miles Dempsey. Every man on his HQ had to know. And anything was going on, he had to know. Nobody had to be in the dark, not like as I've maybe mentioned this before to you. When before the war was finished, and he was going to the J-Ops and into the J-Op tent to tell us exactly what was going on, what was supposed to be going to be done, and if it didn't happen, where you had to come to. That thing you never got when you were in with the fighting with a battalion. You never got the CO come and say, you might have told the officers and that what to do, like, you know, but every man knew what would have to be doing, because the officer could have been told and got killed, and the men knew nothing, you see, but everybody had to know. That's where the beauty about me. They take him up, he used to go into these big B-ups, wagon like, you know, or tent he used to have. He used to have this map on this one side. It was all marked out where Jerry was, where every sort of things was, where our army was, like, you know, and what was this and what was that. You knew where you were. You had an idea. If anything had gone wrong, he used to tell the officers to tell him where he had to fall back to, you know. It was simply not like it, but as I say, the battalions never give it out like that. The officer might get into all, like, you know, but there's the thing there. As I said before, the officer gets killed and who knows? The company's left in a state, there's nowhere what's going on, what's not going on, which is as happened.
In the static position, when you were just in one place with the general, what were your duties then?
Just guarding the HQ, doing routine duties, like, you know, as you would do with a battalion, guard duty, one thing or another like that, when you were static, you know.
You would have to challenge visitors. That
yes. I mean, you see, if you were on that guard for that night, like, you're just the same as you were a battalion guard. You just did exactly the same. And you did that exactly the same as that. You were inspected, and when he come past on the morning, he was going out, like, you know, say, maybe I'd been out with him that a couple of days before that, out with him, but that, a couple of days after I was on guard, the lads, like, you know, when he come along, I turn out the guard to him, and he just walk up and carry on, and that was it. It was good, like, you know. I mean, I dare say he would not just go along, like I said, just we'd have a. He'd have his eye on you all the way along the line, like, you know, he'd been glancing along, like, you know. I don't for one moment think he'd just say, he'd have his eye going along. And if there had been anything, it would have been, would have come back to us later on, that maybe one of the men weren't properly dressed. Not he wouldn't want to say, but the. Yeah, they say would, you know.
Did you come across Americans? What were your opinions of them?
Well, my opinion of Americans, where they were film cowboys or film townies to me. They were nothing, really, really not outstanding at all. I mean, you see, they were more trouble than they were worth. They were worth the equipment they had, but as the cells, they weren't with it.
Was that a common opinion throughout the
forces? Yes, most of the lads. They would rather fight with anybody than fight with the youngs, because they did some stupid things and caused a lot of unnecessary trouble. Often used to do that. Well, as I say, good to get over there and get it on.
Did you have much trouble with them when you met them off duty, kind of thing, when you were drinking or socialising?
Yes. After the going back after the Germany capitulated, like, you know, when we come back to England, we come back to the same place as the first to Chip Norton, back to Chip Norton, like where from, as I said, Bishop Auckland to Chip Norton. And we come to Chip Norton, but not exactly in Chip Norton. We were a little place outside of Chip Norton, just about a couple of miles or so off out of Chip Norton, called Sarsden. There was a big house out there, that's where the general was at. And just across the road, what was it? It was a road, but it was a lane, like, you know. There was two or three army huts. That's where we were stationed up there, like, you know. And some, two companies was there, like, you know, the DLI companies was there, and the others was at Cowley Barracks in Oxford. And when we were there, nice little bungalows, like the army camp, were nice and, you know, on your own, miles from nowhere, sort of stuff. Like, well, I'd say miles, a couple of miles from Chip Norton. And used to march along the road and in the grounds of this big house, a big wooden nut, like, you know, made as a dam, and it was marked the same brand new, like, you know, within the wood, same new when we first went there. I don't know if it had been there. So, 12 years before, but it looked new when we went. And we had lovely tablecloths on and everything. Oh, good, lovely. It was an ideal place. And as I say, we did the duties there. We were allowed to go down there to Chip Norton. Go down there. What day it was, now forgetting. We're down one afternoon. Could have been Saturday afternoon. Or one of the afternoons. We're down chipping on and went to an old booze, like an old booze used to drop the grapes. You know, and went in there. And there's a lad called, Hearty Dunn. What is it, with the six, we was through the six batons. And we were in having a point, like, you know. And we were just cutting along, like, you know, on this, and out in this, going on back, he said, this Yankees coming there, have dubs, like, you know. That's what it was. Oh, it's thing, this ATS, I think it was ATS, a WAF, one of the WAF tests, I think he was messing about with, right? I said, get him out of the big bucket here. And Hattie, right, turn. Start getting one. He said, get out the back. And he come out the back. And he said, go around about where he was going, where he was, and where he had been. He says, it'll be very long. He says, it's all right, all right. I says, get you up. I says, I'm going to get you more. Right. This is good, done the stuff. Took us back in that booth. Eh? He bought his old beer, that Yankee. Right. Every time he used to come in, we used to go in, he used to shout, all right. I says, all right, go. 2 points away. Right. I wish I hadn't done it, but he would tell them about it. Only the ones,
so
isn't
you were with Dempsey right through till the very end?
Right
of
till
the war with Germany.
War with Germany.
And then you came back to England, did you?
Yes, as I say, that's the one we went to, Sarsen, you know.
What time would this be?
Ooh, I wouldn't like to say, I can't tell the time, floorly. But as I say, things was left thing for Germany, like, you know, I think Thingle carried on, what do you call him? Montgomery. So we come back to, after that, we come back to Ostend, all packed up and got on these ferries, on a ferry boat, and they took us, fetched us back to England. We went back to, went to Cowley Barracks.
And where did you go after that?
After Cowley Barracks, well, I had an accident there, you know. Cowley Barracks. We'd come back from Sarsden Tower, and come back into Oxford, like into Cowley Barracks. And as I say, there was an Englander moving somewhere. I didn't know, like, exactly. So there was a wagon going up that way to Chip Norton, like, you know, up to Sarsen, that way to collect kid bags, like, you know. So I said, Bishop, another son, Bishop, we went, he said, he going up, he says, aye. I said, it'll be the last time we get up to Chip Norton. So gets away, but gets as far as the petrol station, the petrol pump to get filled up with the wagon. There's an order come through, saying the ship was wanted. So it left me in charge of the wagon. He said, wait a bit. I said, we're not going to wait at all. I'm like, you know, I said, we start waiting a year, I said, we're not maybe get it all. So anyhow, we bowled off. It was afternoon. I'm going along to where Chip Norton, and there's a Yankee convoy comes down. Oh, it was with us that afternoon. It was Lance Corporal Alexander, and there was the driver, and Lance Corporal Outrider, MPs. We were all going up there, you know. And as we travel along to see, I think it was the Oxford or Bunbury Road, I wouldn't be certain of it. Anyway, we go travel along. And this Yankee convoy was coming down. I could hear the old driver saying, look at them. Blame.
Drunk waving.
And as they were waving, get the back of the truck. And I was saying, Alexander was sitting at that corner, and I'm sitting here the corner. With them waving. This Yankee dipped the back end where Alexander was. Was killed him straight out. Bushed us around like that. To the one run straight into us. I didn't know what was wrong. First thing I knew, this Joe Yankee had left me out. Look. This Yankee was saying, you're all right, Red. You're all right, Red. Say, What's the matter? Like, you know, I was green. What's happened to you? Like, you know. He says, oh, just been a bump. Bump, you know. I says, where's Alexander? The ambulance was there then. I failed, the blood was running down my arm. Down my leg. I said, what's happening? Like, I couldn't lift, and the lift is out. Miami watch, you know, pocket watch. He had in his pocket. He had a cover on, that a cover case on the watch. And I looked, it was jangling down, in a case and nothing on. I didn't bother about the case, like about the watch or the thing. Like the watch was there, but the case it was in wasn't. Like, you know, it put us under there, on the ambulance, and took us straight to Oxford Hospital. Well, anyway, at that time, there'd been about three accidents, all at the same time coming in. And what they would have found out, like, later, like, they were just brushing the serious ones in first. And I must have thought I wasn't serious, like my arm and my leg. So anyway, I can remember them shoving me in a corner and shoving this screen around, like, you know. I'm laying and I'm going off again, like, you know. And then looked. I just happened to look like that and say this first. Looked at it. He come round. He said, how long have you been? I said, I don't know. I was going then. Going out then. What he'd seen was the blood on the floor. And he looked and he said, he just whipped the thing down straight into the. As far as I know, so it was whipped straight into the theatre. Next time I come round, is the nurse was pulling me trousers on the thing on and just shoving my coat over the thing.
What had you done?
Huh?
What had you done?
Oh, just split my arm here and the superstructure had gone through. No, the superstructure had gone through this leg.
How long were you in hospital?
Four, 4 to 5 weeks.
A civilian hospital?
Oh, not a civilian hospital. I did, because what they did, they did in there, they shoved me on his bed, like, and there was all this thing, people coming in. And that's the, like, the new where I was stationed at, and they said there's the ambulance coming from Oxford Barracks, take you back there. That's fair enough, like, just put back in. There's a little hospital in the yard, in the barracks, right up the corner, right in the corner. They took us in there, I was in there till I was left there anyway, till the lads come back up to, they were split up, like, until the lads come back to 50 DVHPL.
And what happened to you when you recovered?
When I recovered, wasn't really recovered, like, you know, I could walk around, let's say, like I do now. And, they sent me down to the station, like, you know, with a staff car, like, they took me down and all my gear. Put me on the train to York. And when I got to York, I didn't know what it was. I got to York. I'm standing in the station with all my gear. But, I see this ATS last coming to along the thing. They were on Sunday, I said, ah. She says, got a truck. I said, what about my gear? Well, she says, I'll get that for you. Took my gear up and took it up to York. I just forget where it was at, like, you know, it was up York. Anyway, I was here, as I say, I never got around, I got away for out at all. name was straight on the list there for battalion orderly sergeant. Well, I went and tell them, I said, did you come to the hospital? And I said, savages getting there. When they didn't.
Had you three stripes up then?
Aye, well, no. Just one floating around sort of style. As you say, could drop off any time. one of those ships you could touch it and it was off. And so he says, so I was there for a week. And the time we come, the time of the week was up, we were moving off to Norway. Well, I said, I thought I was going to get up to York so I could get near home. Like enough to get home. And I did. I said, we went
to Norway. What time would this be?
Yeah. As I say, it was somebody's weather, like, you know.
So, this is 1945?
Yeah. 1945. 1945, aye. I said to myself, we should accept the general. General Dempsey's offer to go out with him at the Far East. The time of getting out of the Far East, it would be over. But as I said, I thought they didn't want to go, like, you know, time should be nearly up. So he says, all right, go, you can go. I wish I'd went with him, anyway, there. He went to Norway. And the time we were out in Norway, the job effort was finished.
What were you doing in Norway?
Nothing, really, to me. For me, I've done nothing, really. Quislings and one thing and another. Sorting things out, but most was out, like, you know.
Quislings, were you rounding them up?
Well, I got round what should have been in, you know, going through all the things and Quislings and juries and all that, and all the equipment, and jury boats.
Just cleaning up, really?
Yeah, I sort of stuff. There was all the cars, civilian cars, all in the compound, like, you know, jitties and all that.
What were the Norwegians like?
Not like, you know, where we were at, where I found them, were cunning, like, you know.
Where were you?
Oslo. Oh, hi. Well, we're a citation of, from King Olaf. It's upstairs somewhere. And we have a photograph. Christmas party, the kids, like, you know.
How long were you in Norway?
Four or five or six months, something like that, wasn't it? But as I say, there was really nothing to do. We got canny billets, like, you know, big university there we were.
Did you get much opportunity to meet the Norwegian people?
Oh, aye. You got a thing. Plenty of opportunity to meet them, like, you know.
What were they doing with the Quislings and people that were being rounded up with them?
Oh, they didn't get much for them at all, like the Quislings. There were what the thing. And what they didn't like, the people, like, was the, what are called grey squiddles. Then we went into Sweden, across the border, and left the people, like, you know.
Those that went away when the Germans came
into
Sweden, and they weren't liked by the rest of them at all.
No, they wouldn't entertain them.
So after Norway, you would presumably come back to England.
Yes.
What time are we now, 1946?
The end of January, somewhere around there, back into England. Went from there to where was it? Where landed that? Yeah, can't say, was it Southampton? I don't know, but I'm just forgetting now, anyway, because they didn't give us much messing about off the ship and away up to York, like, you know, getting demobbed.